Now we're cooking with gas. Okay. I guess that would be a controversial issue right now, what you cook with. But anyway, we're cooking with love, and that's what matters here. So, welcome, Nancy. Welcome, everybody. I see a lot of our favorite repeat participants and love providers here. Thank you for coming again and being here with us. We're going to get started in just a minute. I've got a few announcements to make while we're letting more people get on the call. We're starting late this evening. We are beginning our annual Easter sale, and that includes everything other than digital. We don't ever do a sale with digital because we don't really control the back end of that. That would include archive seminars and that sort of thing, ebooks. But everything else we're going to have on sale, and it'll be there for you by closing time tonight. Let's put it that way. So we love doing this because we know that you want it, and money's a little scarce right now for a lot of people. So we're trying to do our share on the charity side, and we hope that you will bless yourself and those you love with little pieces of love that make such a difference in life. And the other thing I want to tell you about is we have in the future, I have now formulated two seminars. These will be online webinar seminars that will guide us through the spring months. And I don't have a date for them yet. I'll let you know by email, and they'll be posted online. But here's the, and maybe not word for word, the exact title, but one of them is Faith, Hope, and Charity are the Gateways to Tomorrow. And we're going to really focus on learning what Yeshua meant by each one of these and by how these would be viewed in the context of modern living, how we share with each other, how we navigate forward with each other, and how we draw on extra power that we really did not know existed. And the other one is a seminar, a webinar, to go along with the release of my new book, The Only Way Out Is Up. So be looking forward to the announcement of two webinars that we will have this spring. And a very potent presentation on Palm Sunday and Easter that are relevant, highly relevant to our times, what's going on, and how we can be at our best in all of the random demands and conflicts, but also blessings that are unfolding in the world as we're living it. So I really encourage you to attend our blessing services on Palm Sunday and Easter. And we've got a group of regulars that are here every Sunday. I would be preaching to the choir to tell you to come, but you might want to bring friends or people you've been talking about this to, and allow them to receive on an occasion where I will actually be doing a presentation. I think it's wonderful how we share with one another our own life experiences, our own blessings, and our own needs, because it makes it really relevant to everybody that we're really getting something from this. You know, there are a lot of fancy words being spread about online on different social media and podcasts, and you wonder, well, I mean, is anybody really benefiting from this? But we share here to let each other know that we are getting something, what we're getting, and what we'd like to have more of. And it triggers faith and courage in the rest of us to ask and to seek. And one of the things that I have actually considered for a third webinar that will probably go into the early summer, but I'm going to weave a little bit of my thoughts in that webinar, which I think are also extremely relevant for the world we live in. And that is about emotional intelligence. I think most of the time we think of emotions as something we express as a reflection of how we're feeling or how we're thinking or how we like or don't like something, perhaps an expression of our desires or our frustrations. But we see emotions, in fact, it even traces back to the word itself, emotion. In other words, sort of like expressions in motion. And so the whole history of the way we view that word is a little upside down in relation to how it actually functions with our true person, our greater person, and the one that's really in charge in our life, namely our soul. And where does the soul fit into that? Well, what we're going to learn is that the emotions we see expressed are a long, far, relieved expression of what started deeply in our experience of life and our ability to seek out the experiences we want. You know, what I have found is that when I seek out an experience I want and I get it, I treasure it, and I don't need to express anything about it. All of these expressions that we put out that we call emotions are actually cries for help in getting what we want by celebrating that we got part of it, or crying that we didn't get enough, or frustrated that we can't make it happen, or some combination of the above. But the real emotion is what sends us into the motion of experience. We could rephrase that to say emotion is experience happening. And I'm going to take you way back in distant history just to give you a little picture of where this is heading. I often wondered, well, how did our ancient ancestors determine among all the plants of the earth which would be healing, which would be poison, which would be nutrition, which would give us indigestion, you know? In other words, how did we figure it out? And obviously, our ancestors did a brilliant job because some of the ancient herbal medicines could challenge and perhaps excel beyond our synthetic medicines that cost $1 billion to create. So how did we figure it out? What was going on? Well, we have a very, very complex system for interacting with the environment. And I got to know this pretty intimately because of my work with essential oil. It's called intuition. And in our intuition, we are taken to explore the subtleties of our environment, the things we can't quite see or confirm. And you could think about this even in what you say to your friends. Your best friend shows up and she's a little down, and you don't want to drive her into it by asking questions or put her on the defensive. And so you kind of use your intuition to explore topics that might reveal something you could use to create a lasso around the subject. And then you kind of subtly head into it until you've got it on the plate. And, you know, the same thing is true when for us blessing givers, like we're offered, people have asked us for a blessing and we're offering it, and we just have to release ourselves to be in the field of intuition, letting the Holy Spirit guide our energy, guide our thoughts, and take them to where they need to go. I've got to, where is it going to go? And what are we going to find when we get there? And what do we do with it? So that's how intuition works. But it's not just with potent and powerful subjects. It could also be with baking a cake. We're using a recipe that we've always liked, but we got tired of it. And now we've got all the ingredients on the counter, and we think, you know, I want to refine this recipe a little bit. And you remember how it was before, what you liked, what you didn't like, and you use your, then you go to the cabinet where all of your, where your spice rack is and your different flavorings are, and you use your, you remember what was, you think about what you would like to be, and you look at everything, and you see what draws your interest. Well, that's intuition. Now, to get to the functionality of that, that's also important. We actually have an intuitive mind, and it's a mind that's not well explored in our current world, or even our recent modern world. It was a couple of centuries ago. It definitely was, because the old farmers had to have a powerful intuition about the weather and planting times of the year. And we still see some of that continued in the Farmer's Almanac, which I find to be about 10% more accurate than satellite information, because it's picking up elements of the inner earth, elements that give us feedback from the trees and the animals and even the flow of water. We see these things that cannot be scientifically detected, and yet we've got the ability to relate to them. Intuition is all about having a relationship to that which is around us. A relationship that is unfiltered, unaltered, and unlabored with prior experience. Yeshua would call that innocent perception, the ability to just be present with something and take it in and feel it, put it together with what you need and what you want, then you draw conclusions about it. Well, we actually do have some biological components of that, and a very powerful spiritual component of it. The biological components are the amygdala, that's at the base of the skull, which takes in some powerful impressions from not only the environment, but also our autonomic nervous system, which is largely functioning in our spinal cord. Then it feeds up to the hypothalamus, which connects with the larger brain in various ways, and our sense centers, our sense of hearing, sight, smell, and so on. And then that connects with an even higher sense, which is in the pineal gland, which can take intangible perceptions in the environment and turn them into perceptions of possible experience. This is where most psychics go, and they have a very well-developed pineal gland. But all of these are three biological, well, including, of course, the spinal cord and the subconscious experiences of life and the superconscious. All of these feed into what we could call the intuitive mind. These are not encouraged in today's world. There's a very good reason. It's because science wants to rule the world. And science is part of our beta brain. It's part of our beta life, what we pick up with the beta waves of our brain, what we explore and conclude with objective experimentation, objective knowledge, how we put it together and quantify it so that we can say, oh yeah, there's logic to this. You know, there's none of this unseen googla. Nothing you can't see or measure. It's all provable, demonstrable. And for the last 200 years, our world has been pushing in this direction. And we're not really cultivating and exploring all the different potentials of our intuitive intelligence. And our intuitive intelligence is our emotional intelligence. It's how a mother can intuit what's going on with her baby a long time before any symptoms appear or the baby has even expressions of what's going on. The mom's already feeling it. She knows. She knows exactly what's going on and responds to that intuition. Okay, I saw a great video on YouTube last night that I'd just like to relate to you. It'll only take a minute. It was captured on film of a great blue whale, the largest animal in existence, a female, going to her leaving the North Waters and traveling very quickly and hastily to the warmer waters close into Hawaii to give birth to her new calf. And as she gets close into the waters, but a few miles away, all of the males in the region knew there was a female approaching. And they were traveling in it's more than a pod because they were not interacting. They were competing and racing to get to that female driving 40 miles an hour, which is speeding for a 40-ton whale. And the minute they got within about 4 miles, they stopped. They just stopped. And they backed off. And they surrounded her. They already knew. But it took them they had to get in the vicinity in order to pick up the vibes, the energy. But they got it. And they, you know, what they were basically initially competing for is who gets to father the next generation. Well, okay, guys, that's a few months down the road after she raises this baby. So go into chill mode for a while, gentlemen, back off. But they did. They knew exactly what to do, which was to protect her while the calf was being born. And the minute the little tail fin showed up coming out of the female, the alpha male comes up close and he backs up to her facing all the males. And it was like he was telling them, back off, get away from here. He was already protecting that baby. And it probably was not his baby. He wasn't doing it because it was his. He was doing it because it was the right thing to do. And he just, it was an intuition. And it was really beautiful to see that. If you're interested, it's still live on YouTube, and you could just search, put in a search window and find it. It's a gorgeous portrayal of an event I don't think has ever been seen before. So that's just an example in nature of intuition working. The animals know when to start their migration, and then they follow the magnetic field, which will take them there. But what part of their brain is doing that? It's the intuitive part, the part that responds to the unseen, and yet it is detected from environmental signals, vibrational signals, and perhaps even memories within their own field of experience that sets them into motion. But friends, we really need that more than we ever did. And we're defeated in that part of our intelligence more than we ever have been. Because it doesn't matter if the press is false, if you've got a good intuitive intelligence, if you know what to do, no matter what the other person says, you don't have to use this as a lie detector. You just use it as an irrelevance detector, and you go ahead and you do what you know you need to do, just like your ancestors knew what fruit to eat, which ones to throw away. They knew what herbs would be appropriate for building a poultice for an injury. They knew. They could feel it. And so I need a little more time to prepare the ground for this webinar, which is why I'm putting it the last of the three. I didn't even really plan to announce it today, but then I got on the call and my intuition kicked in that we really need to know that we have this capability, because I want to tell you, trust your intelligence. And some of the ways that you can heighten your intelligence is pray. And don't just pray, shall we say, temple rituals. You know, I love the Lord's Prayer because it primes me for prayer. But the real prayer comes after the Lord's Prayer has been said. It's a tribute to God and our relationship to God, our faith in God. And then we need to proceed to have a conversation with God. You know, you need to have an intimate relationship to your Creator. And when you have an intimate relationship to your Creator, your intuitive faculties will multiply. Okay? And not only that, your ability to receive guidance from the Holy Spirit will multiply. And the trust other people have for you will multiply. And that's a very big deal in today's world. You know, it doesn't matter what you say. People are going to think about it three or four times before they decide to do what you tell them to do or suggest they do or information you give them. When you're operating on a high intuitive frequency and you bring this out in them, you have a conversation with that soul, not just with the person that's down here on the earth struggling with what is or is not true. We're all struggling down here on the beta level. By beta, I mean the level that's really literally created from our beta brain. That's the brain that has to figure everything out. And since you can't figure everything out, well, you fall back on science. You fall back on what the educated people tell us is true. And the people who know more than we know tell us is true. We fall back on that because we can't figure it all out. But there's a part of your intelligence that doesn't need to figure it all out. You've already got the target set, and you're just going to go for the target. You'll reach for it. It's one of those things like you don't know what you're looking for, but you drive to the pharmacy or the health food store, and you just walk into the therapeutic section, and you just go, you reach for something, you pull it off the shelf, and you say, oh, that's what I needed. And that's all there was to it. It wasn't a complicated ritual at all. You were just drawn to it, and there you were. So we're moving in that direction. So can you see from the three seminars we've got, and I'm not sure what, I think, I'm pretty sure the first one is going to be our gateway to tomorrow, faith, hope, and charity, because I'm still working on the book. And we want the time, the webinar, The Only Way Out Is Up, to the release of the book. And we'll have some special celebration around that, because that's my first new book in several years. And I'm really excited to release that. I'll be getting back to work on it this week. And it has been stalled for a while because all of the sickness I've been through, the fact I couldn't talk, and you know, when you can't talk, you can't think too well. It's all good. I've been working my way through it, doing all the right things. But it's coming together now. So we're ready to lunge forward. And I just wanted to share that with you. And I promised you in our mailing, I'd give you a real beautiful story about St. Patrick and what he did in Ireland. It was such a treasure to the history and perpetuation of Western civilization. Sometimes I think the two words Western civilization is an oxymoron, because we're not always civilized, my friends. And I work to repair that, and I'm sure you do too. But unfortunately, there are those who don't. Anyway, he did a great job in perpetuating what was essential that we inherited in this, well, going back actually about 5,000 years into Egypt. The wisdom that came from Egypt traveled through Egypt into Mesopotamia, into Greece and Rome, and also united with what came from Egypt was the wisdom of the Torah and the Judeo, soon to be Christian heritage that was blended in all of this and brought forward. Well, what did he do? He had an amazing life, really, because he was taken by he was an orphan child who was fostered out to a fairly wealthy family in Rome, and he was a servant to the family. Well, he got up to his 10 years, and they didn't really need him anymore, didn't want him. He was more valuable to them to sell him, and they sold him to a Roman family that was in Ireland. And he was very, very mistreated there. In fact, to keep him under control, they made him serve naked in the cold. And he did his best and finally did escape. He escaped, and he made his way back to Rome, and found not family, but familiars that would give him protection and shelter and education. And he became an extremely educated man whose great desire was to take back to Ireland. He saw a place for Ireland in the history of the world. He envisioned this. That's what we're going to tell you when I teach you about what hope is. Hope is envisioning the possibility for development and future. But he envisioned what he could do. And what he wanted to do was to take all of the classics, including the Bible, including the Torah, including everything that had been brought forward from what was still surviving from Egypt, all of it over to Ireland, and to found and supervise Scriptoria. That is where it was all translated. He brought all the manuscripts that Charlemagne had translated into Old French. And he had, St. Patrick had mastered many languages. And he taught this to young people and gave them, see, what he wanted to do is he wanted to do for young people in Ireland what was not done for him. He wanted to give them residency and protection, food and shelter, and let them work for it. So the way they were going to work for it is he was going to teach them these languages, and he was going to give them manuscripts to translate. And as a result, they translated all. I mean, they translated Homer, for heaven's sake. They translated Hebrew text. They translated Aramaic. They translated French. They translated Greek and Latin. They brought everything forward and literally reconstructed the literature, the wisdom, and the logic that had built the civilization of the Western world. And that was all done in the Scriptoria of Ireland. And this kind of comes home to me just a little bit, because when I was preparing to reveal Love Without End to the world, all of them, the five readers for that book, the readers and the editors for that book, that we had worked together intensely for a year, we met before the banquet, before the ceremony and the banquet and the celebration of releasing the book. We had a private dinner and meeting the night before. And then we were the subject just came up. Don't you feel like we've all worked together somewhere before? It just felt like, and one of us after another said, yeah, we were in Ireland. And all of them, including myself, we had Irish roots. We had Irish roots, and we all remembered working in the Scriptoria of Ireland, bringing ancient truth into the modern world. So St. Patrick's Day is kind of a special day for me. And I don't even have to wear green, because my name is testifying to the green of my soul and my green eyes. So I am green through and through. And, you know, I love being a steward of truth. You know, I don't always know the truth. I try to. I examine everything I can. But it's sometimes hard to know, because when there are several different stories about it, you don't have all the evidence, and you try to get all the facts, and you don't have it all. You do. You take your best shot. Well, this is where faith and the intuitive mind can actually bring together a miracle and help you to know more than you thought you knew. And I just love that when it kicks in. But that was my story of St. Patrick. I hope you enjoyed it. And Nancy, I see that Sarah's on the phone. I think she's got something really nice to say today.
Absolutely. Let me open. That was a great story. Thank you so much. Let's see, Sarah, can you hear us? Are you there?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can. Yes. Hi, Sarah.
Oh, this is awesome. Anyway, great story, great call. And I'm primarily calling in to thank you, Glenda, for your blessing assistance this morning for my Hope Community Church in Massachusetts. I did my first in-person blessing for a group. And
really? Wow.
And I was pleased at how it went. I, of course, know that Glenda was there somewhere, you know, supporting us with her blessing.
Oh, I was. I was behind your back.
Yeah.
I had your back on it, Sarah.
The what?
I said I had your back on it, and Yeshua was above your head.
All right. Beautiful. Beautiful. And also, I don't know if any of you remember a woman named Eve Bukovalas, who was a blessing giver.
Oh, yeah. Oh, she's a lovely person.
She apparently was on watching our service on Facebook and did the blessing with us.
Really?
So I was really happy to know. Afterwards, she let me know that she did get there and did it. So that was special.
Wow.
So
that's great.
We'll see how things unfold now for this community of, you know, I'm sure some of the people who were there were sort of skeptical and not really quite knowing what we were doing. But
it's okay.
On the whole, the leadership welcomed it, and I think it's, well, and I did get some nice feedback. So
yeah.
We'll see. So I would like to just keep Hope Church in the, you know, in the blessing, you know, just keep being blessed.
You know, Sarah, at some point they might want to bring you in and stand before the church and tell them what the stations of Christ's life were that are expressed through the gestures. You don't have to say, you don't have to go in detail what it's about, just because what he lived and expressed should be gospel, known, the truth known by everybody, and how we evolved our expression of that. Well, that's kind of our unison as a group. But what it expresses should be open knowledge. And so you could share that, and that will relieve their anxiety.
Yeah, well, I was delighted. I took with me the painting that basically it was the commissioned painting that you did of Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
And I took that with me, and, you know, that was appreciated. And, you know, there are people who have some kind of connection with Jesus. And so talk about people, you know, like what's happened for you would be some of them. I would probably not quite believe that, but but I feel
there was
no hostility. There was no, it was just, some of them just weren't quite. But with silence, a lot of people are not comfortable with silence. And I had to do the 7-minute integration.
Of course.
So anyway, it'll be interesting what feedback comes up as we go forward and see what shifts.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm going to make a comment on something you said. It's really tragic that so many people are uncomfortable with silence, because that's where the great mysteries are revealed. And where our intuitive mind is most active. So many times I've been around people who just talk, and I'll have to say to them, could you just be quiet for a few minutes so I can think?
Yeah. Yep.
Thank you, Sarah. Gosh, you're such an inspiration. I'm just so amazed that you did that. Thank you for telling us all about it and being so wonderful to share that with your community.
Yeah, well,
it
was a new experience. And I want to encourage other blessing givers to just get out there and offer, you know, wherever you think it's needed.
I think you should. I think it's time. And this is why we offered a graduate class, to make sure you're really standing in your boots real strong.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes easier every time. You know, the thing is, I have never had a person hostile to me when I was standing in the presence of Christ or presenting his truth or his love or his message or reassurance. They're fascinated to hear. Everybody is fascinated to know and to hear. Now, what they say about me behind my back is really their business. And most of the time I would say it's just how they reconcile what they heard from me with their normal state of doubting everything. There are some people who are they're going to doubt everything, you know, but they suspend their doubts when they're in his presence or when they're in the presence of a greater truth they're interested in hearing. But then they got to go back and reconcile it with themselves. So they probably, so who knows what they say? Who knows what they think? And it doesn't matter. It's none of my business. I did my job. And that's all that matters. I did my job, you know? And if I get out alive, then great.
Yep.
Well, you didn't have any doubt, Sarah. I read a great quote, Sarah, the other day about doubt. That doubt is a non-conductor of grace. So it made me think about when you have faith and you don't have doubt. It's so nice to let that grace come in, you know. So you really were bringing that today. So how wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, everybody. Good to share this stuff. Yeah.
Oh, we have another blessing giver on the call. Steven's here.
Let me open up your line, Steven. Hi, Steven. Can you hear us?
Oh, yes. Hello. Thank you. Oh, it's so great to be back here on this call. Thanks, Glenda, for all that sharing about intuition and St. Patrick's Day, all that information about St. Patrick. Wow. And just calling to, request a blessing. I'm just experiencing quite a bit of pain in my lower back, so just a blessing around that. And I'm back. I was away for about a month over in the UK, and now I'm back just a few days, and so it feels good to be back. And I'm looking forward to your new book, Glenda. It sounds amazing. So thank you.
I'm looking forward to it also. It will be so good to have a new book out. It's like a new baby. It'll be great.
Did you have a good trip, Stephen? Was it successful?
Oh yeah, no, it was great. I went for both, basically both business and pleasure. I was over there. I'm working with an old college buddy on a software project, and that's coming along. I feel we've made a lot of great progress on that. And then just spending time with my beautiful fiance, Samantha, and doing fun things with her and just planning for a future together and spending time with her family. And I feel it was just a wonderful time to, basically, spend time with her and then also do some business as well.
Uh-huh. Ooh, love is in the air. That's great. Yeah. Congratulations, Stephen.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, thank you. I feel really blessed. She's such a sweet soul, so I'm really blessed to be with her.
Congratulations.
All right. Well, we will hold blessings for your spine and also for all of your ongoing projects. May they be successful to the highest level.
Oh, thank you so much, Glenda. Thank you. Yeah, it's interesting how life just, kind of, at least in my case, has always presented me with, different surprises and curveballs. And, it seems like sometimes people live lives that are sort of, in a lot of ways, planned out, and that those plans seem to be somewhat fulfilled, at least from the outside looking in. But some of us live lives that are completely, unplanned and unexpected. Even though you have these intentions, things take you in different ways, and sometimes you just have to go with the flow. I what was the book I read about it? I think it was last year. It was really good, though. Oh, Michael Singer's book on the Surrender Experiment. Oh gosh, that was a real great learning lesson for me, reading his book, to be able to further surrender to things that seem like opportunities, could be opportunities, but you somehow at first feel like you're wanting to resist it, because it's not in your plan. But then he demonstrates how he kind of surrendered to God's plan, right, to the holy flow, and then of course miracles ensued. So anyway, it seems like in a lot of ways my life is somewhat like that.
Well, I think a lot of us came in this generation to do exactly, to be here and facilitate changes that needed to be happening in the world. And then others came to provide continuity so not everything falls apart as we go through these changes. So both sides of that equation are a blessing to all of us. Those who provide the continuity are richly rewarded for it, but they may have a less interesting life than some of us, like you and I, Steve. those curveballs bring some pretty exciting moments.
Yeah, that's for sure. That is for sure. So, right now, for sure, my life is in a state of I don't know. I guess fielding curveballs. And I feel blessed that for everything in my life, that's the most important thing, is I can always find gratitude even when my back acts up, which it did. Oh gosh, I mean, it just literally traveling back like hours before I boarded the plane, my back went out totally, and I just was like struggling to manage.
Oh.
Yeah, man, that is, manage. Manage luggage.
Indeed, I do.
And sit on a plane for hours with your back and pain and gosh, I just that whole, and I've actually done that once before. Many years back in over 10 years ago that I went through that whole experience. It was something I was actually sadly familiar with. But so anyway, yeah, I just a blessing for ongoing healing, if whatever is supposed to come my way, I accept.
It will snap back into place.
Thank you.
It will. Yeah.
Thank you. Well, thank you, Stephen, and thank you for bringing up surrender. Glenda, I would love to ask a blessing for my sister, Cindy. It just made me think that word surrender, and she's just really still struggling so much with her grief and clinging to, the loss, and that surrender part isn't really coming too well for her. So I would just love a blessing around her. I spoke with her today, and she was just really having a rough day. So just thank you for for all of our communities surrounding her with some love and for Yeshua's blessings today for her.
You have it, Nancy.
Thank you. Okay, Glenda,
who
we have another we have another caller. Let's see.
Okay.
Is this Stormy?
Okay, today and the rest of eternity.
Okay. Hi, Stormy.
Hey. I want to give blessing to the ascension of my soul that I have developed, that many people recognize this within me, and want to give special blessing to the canvas transfer of the Lamb and the Lion that I have, that in the clouds, there is a cross in the clouds that's supposed to be there, and I always look at things from many different perspectives, and when I first received this, I looked at it a week later with a light behind it. Well, the cross that is in the clouds, it turns into a pillar of light. And that's just one of the many examples of the ascension of my soul that I have attained. And this blessing call is for the maintenance to the ascension of my soul.
Oh, that's beautiful, Stormy. Really beautiful.
Another little tidbit. A couple of days ago, I very clearly saw the portrait, the Lamb and the Lion, the original. Well, get this. He's walked out of the picture.
He's what?
He has walked out of the picture. He's not there anymore, I can see. And he is walking in this world just as an everyday citizen that you or me might run into one day on the streets. Of course, here in Texas,
Mike,
he's got a cowboy hat on.
He would do that. I find that easy to believe.
Impression that.
So did you actually see the painting, or did you see it in your mind?
Well, in my dreams, I saw the painting.
I got you. Okay.
One of the very, very vivid dreams, and I'm thinking, well, that's interesting. He's walked out of the painting. And, you know, that's that innocent perception that the thing that you've talked about, seeing on the higher levels, that he is here. You know, he's in your presence. You know, we know he's here everywhere with all of us anyhow. But don't worry about the painting so much anymore. He's walked out of it. of course, we know that's clearly possible. He hadn't walked out of my painting, but the original, I thought that was interesting enough to say, as said, something is happening, Glenda. Something's going on. For me, to see even speak of that. And just want to give that food for thought about we've got some real blessings coming our way.
Yes, we do. We do. And that's what I would like to use our study this spring to focus on and help us cultivate or discover, one or the other, or both, cultivate and discover.
Yeah, I'm a real good example.
Yeah. Well, Stormy, you're always a breath of fresh air and a ray of light. So thank you for being Stormy. It's a blessing. You are the blessing.
Yeah, I like that nickname because Storm is an act of God.
Well, we love you, Storm. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Self, not as a storm, but an act of God.
Absolutely.
All right. Next.
God bless you. Okay, we have Ken here. Your line is open, Ken. Ken,
are you there? Unmute your phone.
I should be unmuted.
There you are.
Do you hear me?
We can hear you now.
Oh, good. Okay, thank you.
You're kind of fading, Ken. It's like you're it's like you're in a tunnel or something.
Is this better?
This is better.
Now you're there.
All right. Well, thank you for having this, and as I said, I don't quite get here every time, but as I said, when I do, it's a real treat. And today I've actually really got a question, because some things that have kind of happened the last couple of weeks have kind of got my head in a very interesting perplexation, I should say. And I was reading about an awful lot, or listening to a lot of people talking about ancient Sumerian texts, which were dated anywhere between like 12,000-13,000 years ago to maybe like 20,000 or 30,000 years ago. And what they were talking about is they were talking about the incredible similarity between so many of the stories that were taking place and depicted on these clay tablets in these texts that is then replicated in the Bible. And it made me realize is that, you know, there's been so much information that has just gotten completely lost or eradicated or completely distorted within both our historical context, archaeological context, and our human psyche. And so I guess the kind of two parts of why I'm bringing this up is, number one, if any of that was familiar with you. And then the second part is to really put a blessing into the psyche of humanity to allow us to have greater access to some of this truly ancient knowledge, which basically comes up with the statement that we are all gods and that the ultimate essence of the Creator is to teach us how to be gods ourselves, to understand the practice of all the different things that Yeshua got trained in before he did his ministry, and to have all of us bring that to light and not feel like we have to be subservient to anyone, which is kind of the world that we're living in today. So those are kind of my two things, and I was wondering if you had any thoughts on that.
Well, those are two very, very big subjects. To the first one, I haven't seen the Sumerian tablet. I assume these are stone tablets you're talking about.
Yeah.
I have not seen them. I don't know probably some form of a pictograph, I would imagine, but maybe not.
They're all done within clay etchings in a language called cuneiform.
Cuneiform. Well, that was on the Rosetta Stone. We don't know how ancient that really is, and so I can't comment on that. I can comment on one thing, is that we've been here a whole lot longer, as in the human form. Performing in a high level of capacity and knowledge on this earth than the modern world wants to admit. The modern world has a ginormous ego. We think we are the best the earth has ever seen, and we're not. There are those who lived, and really, I mean, they actually lived hundreds of years. So they knew something we don't know. There were forces that assisted in the building of the pyramids. They knew something we don't know. And I really do not believe that it was aliens that did it. I think it was exactly what you're referring to in the second part of your comment, is that we have phenomenal abilities within ourselves that we need to cultivate, because we have abilities that could change the world if they were all unlocked and set forth and developed, expanded, and put into functional use. We could literally change the world. And we wouldn't have to be bickering about power structures, because we wouldn't need them, we wouldn't want them. And the power structures actually are the parasite. They are parasitical. And I'm already ready to jump in with you about that, which is why I don't talk about them. I don't want to give them any more energy than they already have. We, humanity, the children of God, we were given ownership of this planet, and that did not include just the wealthy or just the politically powerful. They've developed their power through parasiting on others that have a suppressed or repressed ability and don't know how to unlock it. Unlocking those abilities should be the goal of our future generations, to find out and deploy the abilities of who we really are. And I am totally in agreement with you on that. I'm also fascinated with archaeological studies. I ran into one on YouTube a couple of days ago, and if anyone's interested, you might want to look it up. It's called When Whales Walked the Earth. And they did. there is a graveyard of skeletons in the Sahara, or a portion of the Sahara, where whole skeletons of whales are preserved. And those whales had legs. So, one of them, they're pretty sure, is an ancestor of the great blue shark. Not shark, whale. The great blue whale. And it's amazing how enormous it is. You know, bigger than the dinosaurs, but probably lives somewhere in the... No, it didn't live in the dinosaurs have been gone for about 65 million years. So these are not that old, but they're about, these skeletons are about 30 million years old. So apparently, at one point, there was an ocean over the Sahara. The ocean slowly receded. The whales that were left in shallow water, where they had, since they could breathe, had the opportunity of being both land and water mammals, developed legs. And they walked on land, which is really, it just blows my mind when I think of all the things that may have happened on this planet before you and I could even think about it, you know, before we were even a thought in God's eye. Major, awesome, mystical things were happening all over this planet. This planet has been a playground for God. I mean, he's been creating some pretty amazing things here. And our ancestors were part of it.
Well, there's actually signs of human existence, you know, civilized human existence. It goes back as far as 200,000 years ago. And, you know, this is like known stuff in the Middle East and Asia and South America. Those are the big ones. And one of the most amazing recent ones that I heard about was from a fellow by the name of Matthew LaCroix. And he just found an ancient civilization about 50 miles from Mount Ararat, where Noah's Ark was supposed to land. And they're calling this the seed civilization that then spawned all other great civilizations in Egypt, in Asia, and all these other places. It's absolutely fascinating because it totally paints a very different picture of Noah and all of that story and place it in a very different kind of light, but totally validates it in the same way. And so there's tons of really, really, really valid stuff out there that, you know, and I think, you know, just to your comment, yeah, I feel like if we as humanity, you know, a small group of humanity, a subset of humanity, really sparked on our real, true, visceral understanding of our capabilities, we could turn this world over within a matter of weeks to a matter of months. I mean, we could literally change it very, very, very quickly.
We could.
But it's
very quickly.
Yeah. But it's just a matter of the willpower and the practice. It has to be more than a belief, more than a hope. It has to be a real practice, something that is viscerally comes inside of you and that viscerally, where you're viscerally removing the obstacles. And it's two parts, seeing the vision and removing the junk in the way.
Mm-hmm. Good way of putting it. Really good way. Well, I loved our conversation, and probably most people did too. And what I can say to everybody is stay curious. Stay curious. Stay interested. Stay open. You have no idea what will be revealed to you. And I view the era of revelations as very much what you and I are talking about, Ken. All the revelations that have been suppressed, hidden, when they're released, what could happen to create a river of life unlike anything we ever expected was possible.
Amen. Amen, Glenda. Amen, Nancy. You guys got it. So that'd be my blessings. So have all of that possibility been able to be accelerated to the surface.
Amen.
Oh, that's a big one, but really, really worth doing. Okay. Well, you have
I'd like to just add something. I don't know how relevant this would be for anyone, but you know, there's some researchers out there looking into the effects of fluoride on the pineal gland, and because it attracts and it's, you know, it's attracted to calcium, and they say that it calcifies the pineal gland. So something to think about if that's true. You know, with clean water and non-fluoride toothpaste, mm-hmm. a lot of cities are taking the fluoride out of the water. So it's something to maybe consider that. I don't know if there was an intentional attempt to sort of thwart that pineal gland or not, but maybe it was by accident.
Well, I don't know.
But it's nice to think about.
Nothing's by accident.
Also, it calcifies the thyroid also. And a very, very interesting thing also that I have discovered in some of my ancient research, and it all began as I was studying how to support my own personal thyroid journey. I've got it really pretty balanced and functioning now, but it was a journey. And in my research, I came to some pretty strong conclusions. One of the things I discovered is every visceral function of our body requires iodine to function properly. Which told me, and the only other mammalian species that's true about are the whales and the dolphins and the sea mammals. And that suggested to me that for a while, not perhaps originally, but for a while, I think that we were both land and sea dwelling beings. I think we had castles in the ocean, castles on land. I think we, because we needed, well, it's not so much that we needed, but we adapted. There's no reason we would have adapted to so much requirement for iodine unless we were in an oceanic environment that supplied so much iodine. And then we put so, when I say we, I'm talking about the human race. We put so much central importance on the thyroid gland to continue producing all of the iodine, all the other functions of the body required. So it's an integral part of our body, more than you would ever expect from a little organ that is so small. It's like a little butterfly. And I think that there's something we probably are going to discover about our affiliation with the ocean in the development of civilization and the discovery of who we are. So put that on your discovery list also and see what you find out about it.
Okay. Well, Kim, we're so glad you called today.
That was great. Yes.
Absolutely.
So much. Yeah. Okay. Well, are we at the blessing point, Nancy?
We just have two more callers. We have Sarah.
Okay.
Hi, Sarah.
Aloha, Nancy and Glenda and our beloved community. I wanted to just offer my love. I want to offer gratitude for my Irish lineage and ask for a special blessing from Yeshua for the lineage of Ireland. And thank you so much for our saints, our scholars, the song, the literature, such a beautiful, beautiful culture. And in particular, mm-hmm. I want to ask for ongoing blessings for my dad, Peter Sullivan, a true Irishman. And mm-hmm. God bless all of our elders and our ancestors. I want to also ask for a blessing for my brother, Tristan Sullivan, and for all of our families. And I think my friend Michael is on, maybe on the call. And so a special blessing for Michael and Jewel for her birthday and for Ascension now. And finally, a blessing for us all on the equinox that is coming, this beautiful balance of the day and the night. Right, and for the portal that offers us, and a blessing, one last one, for my dear friend Scott and his kind of depression, and any who are struggling with any depression, lifting that up, offering it to God, and thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Sarah, for such a lovely picture of Ireland. I would expect to see leprechauns in your garden.
Oh, yes.
And you reminded me of something. I wanted to close my little story about St. Patrick with there's a book and audio. There's an audio of the book called, it's called How the Irish Saved Civilization. And it's brilliant. And it goes over all the things I was, can you imagine this little island that we associate with shamrocks and leprechauns saved civilization. And it really did.
Woo. Yes. Oh, I'm writing that down for my list.
Yeah, you will love it, Sarah. You will.
Thank you, Sarah. And thank you for asking on behalf of all your loved ones and your friends and reminding us about our elders. So we love you so much.
Oh, I love you. Thank you.
Well, have a wonderful week, and we are going to close with Susan. Hi, Susan.
Hi, everybody. I want to wish everybody a happy St. Patty's Day. And I remember the story, hearing it last year, which blew my mind. So every close person who I know is Irish, I said, I bet you think it has to do with the mice, right? Well, let me tell you a story And let me put you in, you can actually hear it because it's recorded, if I don't tell it right, about the actual facts about St. Patrick. So I was all excited about that and thrilled to hear it again today. And so thank you, Glenda. And, you know, wishing everybody a wonderful day. And not unlike Stephen, I've been having problems with my back. And it went out about a month ago, and then now it went out again. And I'm like, what is this? But, you know, what I wanted to share was something that happened to me yesterday. I got a piece of mail, you know, I get my mail all the time, and I see something, you know, I get this mail that you know, says something about insufficient funds, which I know isn't true, and I flipped out. I really flipped out. And I said, you know, all they said was that you owed $15 here. You're really, you know, overreacting. I said, I know. I don't know what this is about, you know. I really emotionally went off. I went off in a way that I haven't done in a very long time. And so immediately I went to my meditation table and I said, what is, you know, not out loud, of course, I'm on my own. What's going on here? You know, what is this? And I said, I don't know. But the first thought was, there are some people I'm dealing with in my family that very drama queenish and very overreacting. And the first thought is, well, this is something that they go through all the time. And you don't go through that much anymore. And you, lately, Susan, have been very intolerant of it. And, you know, so feeling that way, I said, you need some more compassion and empathy here. Because it feels terrible, and you don't have it often, but you have it now. And it was a reminder. I said, well, I must remember these few people that I'm having a tough time that, you know, judging, and it brought to my mind. And then I went back and I said, well, what is going on, you know, with this? Is there any reason why, you know, this is coming up? And what came to me was that I had I had something happen, and that was what it was about. But, you know, so that came later in the night, the reason why it happened. And I couldn't call because it's a weekend, so I had to wait till Monday. But before, you know, that came, before I went to sleep, when it was revealed to me, what came to me was that I was afraid that I was just doing something new on autopay, and I was afraid that they were messing it up. And I'd have problems, you know, that is just telling me I should do. I got myself caught up in some kind of fear, which, you know, which triggered this crazy emotional reaction. And I said, well, now you just let it be. Just let it be. It'll be resolved. That's the worst case scenario. You know, they won't change it and you'll pay the fine or whatever. And that's the end of it. That's the worst case scenario. But, you know, let go of the fear. And it was nice to get in touch. Getting what the fear actually was. I could step out and see, you know, what fear triggered this, like one thought triggers another, you know, all from an emotional, crazy, you know, thing. But the best thing I learned was that I don't experience that often, and I'm judgmental of those who do. I said, that's the most important thing I got out of it. So I just wanted to share that. Thank you. Thanks.
You did wonderful emotional research, Susan, and that shows that you really took charge of this, and you didn't just let it hang in thin air as an expression that disturbed you. You really looked at the inner depth of what might be causing it, what to do about it, and you got hold of your fear. One of the things that I have found in my life and in so many people I counsel is that fear is usually behind highly reactive emotions. It's the most reactive of all our emotions because we have to act very quickly. You know, the house is on fire. You better act really quickly. Either get yourself to safety, call the fire department, get the kids and the pets to safety, act fast. And fear causes us to act really fast.
And so we react without thinking. We don't even know what we're saying most of the time. So I would, that's a good thing to look for when you have something reactive going on that you don't understand. It's a good thing to jump in and look at how fear might be a component. So that's it. It's a great message, Susan. Thank you.
Yes, definitely. Thank you. And Glenda, we do have one more caller, Elizabeth. Thank you, Susan. Let me open up Elizabeth. I didn't want to miss you. You are open, Elizabeth. Can you hear us?
Yes, Nancy. I'm sorry to be late. I got on late because I had something else that I couldn't get away from, but I just wanted to ask a blessing for my friend Cliff Love, who just had back surgery, and I was just with him. That's why I wanted to put him on the prayer list, that he heals well, he's doing okay, and it was just like a week ago. So if you could put Cliff Love on the call, on the blessing list for healing for his back, that everything goes perfectly. And just things with my sister and her friend Millie. So it's Virginia and Millie working out their relationship, and it's moving forward, but I think a little more wind beneath their wings to help them work out their relationship. So it's Virginia and Millie, and that was just the blessings I was asking for and thanking you. Thank you for putting me in at the last minute. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for coming home and asking for this for them. I'm sure they will be blessed.
I'm sure too.
Well,
we do have one more. Do we have time, Glenda? We have an 802 area code. I'm not sure who it is.
Yeah, we've got time to request a blessing, but not for a conversation.
Okay, here we go. Hi, your line is open. Hello? Yes.
Hello?
You're there. Hi.
What? Hi. Can you hear me?
We can.
Yes, we can.
Hi. It's Dee Dee Tracy calling. I just wanted to put a blessing out for a friend of mine, Judy, that I spoke with earlier today, who's going through a second bout of cancer and has just found out she has to go in for another surgery, and her mother is dying also, and I'm friends with she and two of her brothers. So for Mike and Dan and Judy and for Jerry, who is dying, she's been in the hospice for quite some time, just prayers out for the Baginski family and Barb.
Okay.
Thank you.
What is their, what's the family name again?
Baginski. And Judy the Baginski family. And
Baginski.
Judy.
Okay.
Yep.
That's a very different name. Haven't heard that before.
Yeah, and Judy Peacock is my friend who's the sister. Yeah, Judy,
okay.
Jerry, Mike, Dan, and Barb. Thank
all
you.
All right. We've got them in our hearts. Okay, and you too.
Blessings.
All right,
blessings
everyone.
Well.
Yeah, we had a full day today. Let's just put it that way, and it was wonderful. And we are going to move into our blessing. Okay, everybody, take a really deep breath. And shake your arms out, shake your legs a little bit. We don't have time to go through the whole shakeout ritual that we usually do because there are people remotely waiting to check in and be part of the blessing. Of course, I tell them you may need to wait for a little while, but they're expecting it to be done before now. So let's just relax. That's the first thing I want you to do. Just move your shoulders around, wiggle in your chair a little bit, or stand up and twist your
twist your body, your arms, just get loose, whatever it takes for you to get loose, and take a very deep breath. This is important because breath brings life into your body, and life brings blessings into your personal life. The transfer of blessings is always through the energy and the field of life and the living. This is why Yeshua says, as one of his pillars of success, follow life and the living. Life transfers ideas, blessings, inspiration, guidance, and healing. And so without breath, there is no life. So I want you to take the kind of breath that you expand your ribs, lower your diaphragm, raise your shoulders to make full capacity, 360 degrees for air inside your body. Hold it as long as you can and then exhale it through your mouth. Relax everything. And now let's do it again. Inhale through your nose if you can. It's okay through the mouth if you can. But inhale and expand. Okay. The best thing about inhaling through your nose is because you also, in case you've ever wondered about that, you also will be taking lots of air into your sinus cavities, which will bring oxygen into the area of your brain and all of these other functional parts of your intelligence, intuition, awareness, and guidance. Your dashboard, let's just put it that way. It brings more oxygen into your dashboard. So inhale through your nose so you not only feel your lungs and the torso of your body, but also your dashboard. And let's just be filled with air. Again, and now release. Okay. Now, I just want you to relax. Just relax. If you know the four square breath, practice it. If not, I'll coach you next time. Yeshua's waiting. Everybody's waiting to receive a blessing. Okay? Oh, Lord, our brother, our friend, our redeemer, our leader, our inspiration, our guide, we thank you for the gifts of your life into our life. Knowing you is blessing number one. Knowing God through you is the greater part of that blessing. We ask that you bring the Holy Spirit to us now, to convey the energy of life in its fullest, that we and our loved ones may rejoice in renewal and perfection of our intentions, our goals, our dreams, our aspirations, that we may reach out, discover, and unfold new opportunities and blessings of all kinds and all magnitudes that grow in the garden of heaven, that have always been here for us, but we didn't know to reach or to look or to request or think that those could be ours. Open our mind and our hearts that we may receive every good thing. And we can take it into ourselves that we may then be every good thing that we have been created
with the potential to be. We ask through our voice and our prayer, through our heart and our soul, that you will include all of our human family in the blessings we seek. For there is none I've heard today that anyone else would not want. We have asked for everybody. And I ask now for the children that they not be forgotten, that they be included, for they are the garden of our future. They are the treasure of our hearts. And they hold the key to what comes next. We ask that they be loved, fed, and kept safe. We ask that you be with the sick and the lonely. For even though they suffer physical or possibly mental distress, they are still children of God. They are still your brothers and sisters, my brothers and sisters. We are all one family. We ask that you elevate us to be what we can be and to heal and bless those who need special attention right now. We ask that you feed the poor, for there is plenty of food. We only need to unlock the doors of the storehouse and let it pour out for those who are hungry. Help us cultivate our spirit of generosity and charity, that we may support all the good activities of this world that open the blessings for everyone, so that you give unto us and we give unto others, as it should be. We ask all of these things in your name, in your precious divine soul, that we may be blessed with the grace of God, the guidance, the healing, and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessing givers, will you join me now in conducting the spirit and the energy of the blessing? Amen. Amen. And amen. Your blessing has been given. Now, I want you to go and rest for 7 minutes. Or get flat anywhere. Just be a blank slate on which the blessings of God can be written. Let it not be your voice. Let it not even be your prayer. For this is the time to receive and surrender that the blessings of God may be received. I wish you a wonderful week in preparation for Palm Sunday. I wish you blessings every day and more blessings than you can even imagine. And look forward to being back again next Sunday. Bye-bye for now.